The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to John. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and they don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." They reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Has this ever happened to you, that someone was maybe approaching you from afar, walking down the street, an airport or a mall, and as the person approached, you didn't recognize that person? Ever happened? Maybe because you hadn't seen the person in years, or maybe because you didn't have your glasses on, or maybe there was some mist. But I think we've all had that reality where we were in front of someone, we don't even recognize who they are. When I find it interesting, several times after Jesus rises from the dead, they don't recognize him. How could Mary Magdalene, who knew our Lord so well, thought he was a gardener? It wasn't even wine gardens. Was she legally blind, or was her eyes so filled with tears? I thought about that often. Have you? Why didn't she? I mean, she was very close to the Lord after her conversion. Or another example. Luke chapter 24. Okay, not 25 because there's only 24 chapters, okay? The disciples on the road to Emmaus. One of them, they say, was probably St. Luke. The other one was Cleophas. How far were they walking? 7 miles, huh? That's here to Pico Rivera if you're walking without a car, huh? That's a long walk, isn't it? How could they be walking 7 miles and not recognize him? Well, even more so, the apostles. John chapter 21. They're fishing the whole night, and this man standing on the shore says, "My little children, have you caught anything?" And they're very laconic. They say, "No." They don't elaborate upon it. "No." Okay. Then he says, "Well, throw the nets on the other side of the boat." Then they throw it in and they catch 150 whoppers. Not minnows, but whoppers. Then Eagle Eye John, I call him Eagle Eye John, he recognizes it and he says, "It's the Lord." How could these men that were with Jesus for 3 years, why couldn't they recognize him? There's a nice hour meditation for you. It's always fascinated me because these were people that knew our Lord almost better than we know ourselves. They were best friends with Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. So that's going to be your meditation. Why? Well, let's try to apply this to ourselves. Do we ever fail to recognize Christ? Quite often, huh? If any of you have done the spiritual exercises, you should arrive at a point where God is present at all times. That's the net result of the exercises, is that God is present at all times. We're aware of God's presence in all different circumstances. If I can quote a poet, a little bit of poetry, I'm a poet and I don't even know it, right? As the Greek poet says, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? So I'd like to point out at least three ways in which God speaks to us. Are you listening? Okay, don't zone out yet, okay? Okay, first of all, he speaks to us in the Word of God. That's why all of you should have sacred scripture in your hands every day. God will speak to you through the Word of God. Now, I'll give you a method that I've created over the past year. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. You like that? You hear me? That's a biblical method that I myself have created. I'm very creative, okay? Read. Memorize. You say, Father, I've got a lousy memory. Well, are you going to receive communion today? You have the mind of Christ. Did Jesus have a good memory? You got his memory. Tell God to improve your memory, okay? Tell God to improve your memory. You remember the bad things, right? If anyone ever lends you money, you'll never forget that, baby, huh? Yeah. Well, we all have a memory. But we have what's called selective memory. We all have a memory, no? Memory. General understanding. Personal understanding. Practical application. Amen? So God will speak to you through the Bible. The second way in which God will speaks often is through the beauty of nature. Spiritual exercise. We were created. What in creation lifts up your mind to God most? Because there's a lot of beautiful things. If you went to the Easter Vigil Mass, the first reading was what? Genesis, a summary of God creating. What do you like best in creation? There's so many beautiful things that serve as a means to elevate our mind to God. I love the whole idea of metamorphosis. That's a Greek word, huh? Metamorphosis. What does that mean? Transformation. Yesterday, talk about a piece of coal can be turned into diamond. I like physics, huh? Aren't you? Did you know that a butterfly used to be a caterpillar? I like that. Caterpillars are ugly, aren't they? Would you like to have a caterpillar climbing on your hair or in your cornflakes in the morning? Probably not. No? Caterpillar is ugly. But a monarch butterfly is beautiful, isn't it? So for me, the whole idea of metamorphosis, conversions within nature, makes me think about the fact that we're called to be converted. So ask yourself in nature, what element in nature you love most? What are your two favorite flowers? I love the rose, but there's another flower that you probably don't even know too much about. It's called a sunflower. You ever see a sunflower? Sunflower. Some of you speak Spanish. In English, sunflower, if you know your English well, is prosaic. In Spanish, it's poetic. None of you know Spanish that well, do you? In Spanish, it's called girasol. Girasol. Girasol, it's a compound noun. Girarse sol. How's your Spanish? Girar means, the reflexive verb here, girarse means to turn towards the sun. Spanish is much more beautiful. And what does a sunflower do? It turns toward the sun. You are called to be, the closer the sunflower gets to the sun, the more it blossoms and flourishes. You are called to be a sunflower, human sunflower, basking yourself in the light of Jesus and the Eucharist. Amen? Like that, baby? Yeah, see? So think about that. For me, I look about nature because I've studied literature, I know poetry well. I look at something in nature and I think about behind that beauty of creation is the Creator Himself. Amen? Okay, last but not least, God speaks to us through circumstances. You hear me? He speaks to us through circumstances, and I could give you tons of examples, but I'll give you one from the life of a saint. Okay, you know this spiritual exercise. Who is the greatest in giving the spiritual exercises after St. Ignatius? I'll give you a hint. It was his roommate in the University of Paris. It wasn't St. Francis Xavier. It was the other guy. Nope. Nope. Sounds like you're mumbling, no? You know, frijoles en la boca, huh? Okay. Saint Pierre Favre. How's my French, no? Saint Peter Favre. He was the roommate with Ignatius. He was the greatest expert in giving the exercises after Ignatius himself. A story in his life. He was sought after by kings and queens and bishops to give the exercises because he was the greatest. So there he is in Europe. He's knocking at the door of a castle where you got a king. He's going to give the exercises. And he's dressed in this shabby black habit, okay? He knocks at the door, and the porter opens up the door. And Peter Faber says, "Here I am. I'm come to give the exercise." And the porter says, "I don't even know who you are." "Well, I'm Peter Faber." "Peter Faber? I don't know who that guy is, no?" So the porter slams the door in his face. What would you do? Eventually he opens up, but he does a reflection. How many times have I closed the door on God when he's knocking at my door? Second, I pray that when I die, God will open up the door for me so that I can go to heaven. Third, I pray that all the people that I'm preaching to, God will open up the door to paradise to them. Wow! You got that? Obviously, that's a saint that knows the exercise as well, right? That's the third degree of humility. The door was slammed in his face, and he saw how God used that to get him to be more docile to the Holy Spirit, to pray for conversion of sinners and to pray that the people he worked with would be brought to heaven. So let's pray for the grace today to be able to recognize Christ, to not simply see the gardener or the guy standing on the shore, but to be able to recognize Christ in the Bible, in nature, and all the circumstances of our life, because in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen.